personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, Dal, we missed 1 week, and now we're going to have to cram all of the fresh-laden NFL news into a one-hour show. Across the rest of sports, should we just bang them out of the way since it's going to be a very NFL-heavy show?
Sure.
World Baseball Classic in full swing. Lance Lynn pitched a gem for Team USA yesterday. They walloped Canada. I think Korea mercy ruled China, the most runs ever scored in the World Baseball Classic. They beat them 22-2. Poor China.
Yeah, meanwhile, China's probably like adding another island to the ocean to get back at Korea.
It is amazing, by the way, that I know that most of their resources go into academics and science, but China just has like a trillion people over there.
Well, they dominate in the Olympics.
Why aren't they better at most sports?
They do really well in the Olympics.
At gymnastics, mostly.
Diving. They dominate diving.
Wrestling, hockey, basketball, baseball, all the team sports.
Well, they're not going to win at basketball. They're like 5 feet tall.
You'd think, though, that you're like, well,
what, are you going to stack them on top of each other?
Just purely on statistics, you're like, well, we have the most people by like triple. Some of them should be good at these sports.
Here's all you need to know about Chinese.
There's got to be 11, right?
Here's all you need to know about Chinese basketball. They think Jimmer Fredette is good.
So. Soccer, they're not particularly great at that.
Yeah,
everyone plays that.
Yeah, that's true.
They're terrible at rugby and cricket. These aren't sports I watch. I just know this.
They seem to be really good at communism, though. So they're pulling that off.
They're rolling with that. Anyway, World Baseball Classic in full swing. Spring training, been going. No real big news. Here's the big one from outside the NFL. That's only been reported by one source, and that's NBA Central. No one from ESPN or anyone else is reporting it, so who knows? But there's a rumor that Ja Morant is being released by the Memphis Grizzlies.
Haven't seen that. The one I saw had him, he's like in some facility, being, you know, he's kind of working through some things. To me, he hadn't done anything that was worthy of being released.
No.
I mean, my goodness, the guy's... He's arguably one of the top five talents in the league.
The only thing I might argue is had they already like indicted him and brought him in on charges for the whole beating up and flashing a gun at the 17-year-old in the park. However, it kind of looks like that case might get thrown out from lack of eyewitnesses.
I don't know.
I mean, if he's not found guilty, I don't know that you can cut him for that one. And certainly just the video of him... being on camera with
brandishing
a gun.
Like, no.
Like, yeah, don't do that. But also, that's not going to cost you a career when you're as talented as Ja Morant. So.
Not only that, and I'm not even trying to be a jerk here. Big deal. Did he shoot anyone?
No.
He was an idiot. You shouldn't do that with a gun. You're a role model and you're being flippant with a firearm. That's a fairly big don't do that. But he didn't shoot anyone.
No, he's what you would call 23 years old.
He didn't,
and stupid.
Yeah, I was that, and at that point I was married and had a kid.
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't quite kid. We didn't quite have the kid yet, but I was stupid and married.
You could argue that that's the type of mistake, though. That all right, don't do that, Ja. That's dumb. Now people are mad at you. But like when he's 27, when he's 28, are you worried he's still going to be running around doing that?
Yeah,
probably not. I don't.
If I was in his shoes, I'd be carrying too. I really would.
I meant the whole flashing it on camera.
Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying is his mistake isn't carrying a gun. His mistake is being flippant about it.
Yes.
If I was him, young, black, rich, I'd be carrying too.
Yes.
In fact, I carry not being any of those things.
This is just purely an endorsement from Dal.
Yeah. Poor white. Old. There we go. That's the third one. I couldn't think of the third one, which makes sense that it would be old because I couldn't think of it.
I'm not sure that there's much. The Boston Bruins, by the way, got to talk about that. You're not as much of a hockey guy, but my goodness, we talked about it earlier in the year. And maybe in the back of my mind, I was thinking, okay, let's talk about this while it's news. That's why I brought it up like a month ago. Because normally in sports, when someone's, quote, on pace at the midway point of the season to set some egregious, unbelievable record, they usually tail off later on and it evens out. But here are the Boston Bruins. with only 15 games left to play, still on pace to break the 96 Red Wings and 2019 Tampa Bay Lightning's tied record for most wins in a season at 62. They're on pace for 64.
If you don't win the cup, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't, but I mean, if we just... The playoffs haven't started yet. They haven't been knocked out. So let's just talk about the impressive thing they're doing while it's impressive.
It's not that impressive.
Okay, I'll say this. When the Patriots went undefeated in 2007, were we not talking about, holy crap, the Patriots are still undefeated while it was
week
15?
Some people were. I was still waiting for them to win, which they did not.
They did not. But we still
They were a hell of a lot closer than what this team will probably be.
And while it's not for good reasons, we still remember that 07 Patriots team.
I don't.
We remember that. You remember the 07.
I remember that they did it, but who cares?
You remember the New York Giants for beating them.
Yeah, sure.
And if, I mean, let's say that that happens to Boston, they don't win. If nothing else, it's going to be quite a story that some team's going to beat them.
To me, it's a non-story. It's all hype at this point.
You don't like to watch, like, historically great teams be doing something in the moment.
They haven't done anything yet.
Oh, come on.
They're playing extremely well.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. This podcast will not be returning until the championship week of every sport, because nothing is
breaking
news
until
the championship week.
Breaking news. The Bruins are playing really well. Bruins have not done anything yet. That's the breaking news.
They've done plenty. Not historically.
No.
But they're going for some records. We hyped up Alex Ovechkin breaking the goals record crazy.
Because that takes like 20 years to get there.
Oh, I like it. I like Boston. I like what they're doing. If they break both these records.
I have nothing against
Aaron
Boston.
Judge breaking the home run record. We did a segment on that. The legitimate home run record.
Yeah.
But anyhow, they're also still on pace to break the points record. So wins and points in a season for a team.
Okay,
they're looking, they're rolling.
It's exciting that they're doing what they're doing. How's that?
We'll say this, they haven't accomplished the main goal yet, but they've at least created the buzz in the air. It creates a storyline in the playoffs if they set both those records of, all right, let's see if they do it.
There's sort of a cool moment if they ever make a movie about it. It's sort of like Moneyball, and the big thing was they won, what was it, 22 in a row, the A's? And then, you know, they don't win the World Series.
Yeah.
That movie would have been much better had they won the World Series.
Significantly.
And so.
And unfortunately.
You got to work with what you got.
There are baseball fans now that say that even though they did what they had to do at the time, that A's team, quote, ruined a couple of baseball franchises forever. Because now there's still teams that still try to operate like that, even though they no longer have to. And people are going, all right. I, as a Tampa Bay Rays fan, pay money to come watch my team be slightly above average year after year. Because
you can't blame that on the A's.
Because they think they can win a championship doing this, and that's not what happens.
You blame it on your current management, not on the 2000 whatever A's.
I'm tired of Moneyball. I want to pay Aaron Judge $1 billion. That's what I want to see.
There's a big problem with baseball because of the money revenue sharing, because everybody should have the money to be competitive. In fact, they all do. And then you have owners who choose not to.
And a big storyline coming out of professional baseball in regards to that is the league is taking a vote this coming up here soon. It might have even already passed. I might have to look that up here shortly. Putting in a salary floor.
Yeah.
Officially mandating it. A floor that I believe the payroll suggested that would be the floor. As of right now, there are 9 teams whose payroll is less than that. So it wasn't like this was some arbitrary, all right, yeah, $8 is the floor. Huh?
Yeah, and oh, no, yeah.
Like, no, they're going to force some of these teams to go spend some money.
Well, because they're just keeping it.
Yeah.
And not to get myself in trouble here, I've worked for people like that wouldn't put a friggin' nickel back into their own business. They just kept taking all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but let's not pretend that everybody's on an even footing when you do it. So, yeah.
Especially some of those clubs are the ones that were top 5 in the league in average ticket price.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going, okay, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, not only that.
How dare you charge $80 for a baseball ticket when you're the worst team in baseball and you don't pay any
of your
players?
Because they're making all their money off television revenue.
Yes.
They don't care. And in fact, that's the ultimate I don't care is charge. That is the ultimate and I don't care. The Pittsburgh Pirates charging $80 for a baseball ticket.
And you know what's sad about that?
You should be giving those away.
You know what's sad about that too? And I have a friend who's a Pittsburgh sports fan.
My brother is a longtime suffering Pirates fan.
Like, yeah, the Pirates are the third most popular team in that city. I get it.
At least.
Pittsburgh fans are up there with, I there's a certain tier of cities.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're just like, we'll throw a professional dodgeball team into this city and it'll sell out every week.
Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh's
Chicago,
one of them.
Seattle, Pittsburgh, Philly, Boston. To an extent, New York. New York occasionally stops caring about their basketball and hockey teams when they're bad, but to an extent, those cities are, you know, oh, hold on, we have a professional squash team?
Denver?
I gotta come
see
that.
You could maybe throw Denver in there.
Maybe.
Even though I hate Denver. You could throw them in there.
I would, and to kind of be that disrespectful to Pittsburgh sport fans,
well,
as the Pirates ownership.
Yeah, it's, but no, I'm all for that.
Throw them in the river.
Because as, I guess what I'm saying is revenues are at an all-time high for baseball teams, and attendance is not. So that's exactly what's happening, is they're getting all their money from television revenue, and then they're basically going, we don't really care so much about tickets, which is garbage. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a lazy, easy fix, thing to do as ownership, and it's really quite unconscionable. You should be there to engage with the city and with the community. If let's just say if I own the Pittsburgh Pirates, if I was the owner and I'm taking it over as of today, first off, you're in trouble because I don't know that much. but second, I would do a so much better job than that. My goal would be to fill that stadium.
And it wouldn't be hard if you just made tickets a little cheaper.
I'd make them very cheap. In fact, I would make it to the point where I would just donate lots of tickets. It's like, oh, you're under 12? Come watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Come watch the game and buy concessions.
Well, as much as I've always hated Reisendorf, who owns the Bulls and White Sox.
Yeah.
One thing I have always appreciated ever since I was a wee lad about the White Sox, and the White Sox are definitely the little brother of Chicago.
Sure they are. Yeah.
I mean, the Cubs are the team.
Well, they're kind of the tattooed, smoking stepbrother of the Cubs.
Anyone that's ever been to Southside Chicago knows what Southside Chicago is like. It's not, Wrigleyville.
There's a reason their colors are black and white.
Yes. But anyhow, the White Sox have always been notorious for, they are the team that if it's not that they don't care, you know, White Sox ticket sales and attendance has never been as good as the Cubs. And at the very least, the White Sox seem to take that a little personally and constantly do the, all right, what can we do? Every Thursday is free bobblehead and kids get in free night. Wednesday is buy a second ticket, you both get a hot dog for free night.
Free tickets to the last time to anyone who was in the stadium when we won the World Series.
Just constant giveaways.
See, I like that.
They're like, listen, the Cubs are outselling us every year. We got to get butts in these seats.
But I guess the point is, I feel like baseball as a whole is kind of dying on the vine when it comes to America's pastime is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
People would much rather stay at home and have it on, which is good in some ways. Let's be honest. I grew up in a place and still live in a place where there is no professional sports franchise. So if you pick your team and you want to watch it or have it on in the background, baseball's great. Mm-hmm. You can just have that. But in the cities, you've got to engage those people.
I think where it's dying off is that it's become much less of a season ticket type of sport.
Everything's so expensive.
Yeah. I mean, baseball is that game at this point where you're like you said, you know what? maybe if I go to a game, like I have, you know, little Johnny wants to go watch the White Sox and the Reds play. All right, come on, little Johnny. Let's throw $20 down. Let's go watch a baseball game this year. That's fine. No, I'll just watch the second one at my house.
But it was just, it's too expensive.
That too.
I mean, I'm just saying, I remember going to college. The Rockies were pretty brand new in the 90s, late 90s. And I remember you could go sit in the rock pile, which is not good seats, but you were there. It was deep center, left center, right center. And they were like $8. $8. You paid more for parking than you did to get into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there should always be that type of ticket available at a major league stadium.
Or as I infamously had a childhood experience with, as my dad will constantly tell us about, parking was free near Comiskey Park, and you still ended up paying for parking because some little 12-year-old who's, you know, 20-year-old brother was over around the corner with his 8 friends all with bats would say, "Hey, mister, you know, for $20, I'll watch your car here, make sure nothing happens to it." And you forked over that $20.
Oh, yeah. And why not? That's $20 well spent, actually. But I feel like that should happen. And then I feel like if the stadium's not full, so like let's say Coors Field is not full, i.e. every single game. If I'm in the rock pile, I should get to move down. Mm-hmm. And I should get to move down as far as I can. Unless someone walks up and goes, "Oh, that's my seat."
Yeah.
And produces the actual ticket. Then tough crap. I got in here on a ticket. I am here. And as a person who is in the stadium, I should have more say than someone who's not, I guess is what I'm saying. And that also bothers me. You know what? I never complain about Wyoming. I'm going to complain about Wyoming for a minute. The Arena Auditorium is one of the coolest basketball venues in the country where Wyoming plays college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And they redid it a few years ago. It used to hold 15,500. Now it's like 12,500, something like that. They put in some big video boards, which is great. It's fine. It's totally fine. And it's still fairly cheap to get into a game on any given. But then they post these wannabes around the lower bowl where there's cushioned seating. And you can't get down there. And so then, like, Wyoming will have, like, 4,000 or 5,000, or, you know, 3,700 at a game. And it's on TV. And it looks absolutely empty because most of them are up. Let them move down. If the person, I understand people buy season tickets. And I understand as a season ticket holder, you can show up whenever you want. I don't have to get there early to get my seat. I bought season tickets. I'm a Cowboy Joe member. I'm all of these things. Yes, you can show up. You know what? Even be 10 minutes late. I don't care. It's your ticket. But if you're not there by like 10 minutes into the game, screw you. Or at least don't get mad if someone's in your seat when you get there.
Or they show up and they're like, "Hey, that's my seat."
Yeah.
And you say, "Oopsie daisies," and you move
no
back.
Problem.
Yeah.
But it makes a hell of a lot more sense for that lower bowl to be full on television.
Did you ever play ESPN 2K5, the football game?
I don't think so.
It's to this day still the best football game, in my opinion, that's ever been made until EA bought the rights. And
I just, I love
2K
EA.
Wasn't allowed to make anything. I think 2K football was way better than Madden, but they had a little pregame video that I always thought was very funny where, you know, they did the, you know, "Welcome to Soldier Field for this exhibition between the Bears and Vikings, blah, blah, blah." And one of the things they put in every single one was two little computer fans walking down the stairs and he goes, "The fans are taking their seats, the ones that actually own those seats." And I always thought that was funny. Is then two sets of fans are arguing over, they're both showing each other their tickets and pointing at the chair, and that's just the animation. And that was, and I always
kind of funny.
They just threw that. And also, why do they both have tickets that seem to apparently say the same
but
thing?
I just,
what's going on here?
As an American sports fan, I should have the right to be a cheap bastard. Is all I'm saying. if I want to walk up to the ticket counter and say I want the $8 tickets and get in, and yet I'm one of 30,000 people there in a 60,000 seat stadium.
Yes.
I should have the right as a ticket holder and a human being who actually went to the game to move closer.
And I'm going to be honest, a lot of stadiums really don't enforce that all that harshly.
You're right. And so it annoys me when some of them do. Yeah. So knock it off.
So we're talking about this. So baseball is struggling to go in that direction. Can I just say, as now your Defenders, by the way, if we transition over to the XFL.
Defenders of the Earth.
4-0. They've got a rematch with St. Louis coming up. And might I just say, I was very disappointed to find out a pair of things here, Dal. First of all, I'm heading down to St. Louis in 2 weeks. My sister's best friend slash sister, they had an interesting relationship with one another. But going down there, she's given birth. We're going to help with the babies. I looked to see if the St. Louis Battlehawks were playing a home game that week.
Ooh, which would be cool.
Yeah, they're on the road.
Aww.
So I went, oh, dang it. Well, you know what? We're traveling to that NAB on a Sunday. Like, I wonder if Vegas is playing at home on that Sunday. Maybe I can go at night. Vegas on the road that week. I can't catch a break with it. But anyhow, XFL, and they're putting double-digit thousand.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, pretty decent.
Especially DC.
Tickets, $18 on average.
Yeah.
You know how fun that would be to just say, you know what, I know it's not the NFL, but I want to go see a football game. I can just throw $20 down and
that's
go get
how it should
front
be.
Row ticket right on the 50 for $25.
That's
I can
how
go watch the Renegades.
That's,
come on.
That's how it should be for the XFL. In fact,
I love it.
And to me, that's what they should continue to push.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Defenders are 4-0. Wow. I can't believe I timed that well.
That was beautiful. So they got a big old, I don't know if you saw some of I love sport. When it comes to these spring league football leagues, anything to add any random drama to it is fun for me. Because
the lemons.
Yeah, you have to.
The
you
beer
have to,
snake.
You have to produce it yourself. How about the DC Defenders putting out on Twitter, guess who's 4-0? You know, because they are. And the Houston Roughnecks replying with a little raised hand emoji. The raised hand emoji and a winky face. And then the DC Defenders replying to that with their schedule, with the one, I think it's in week 7, circled, where they play each other. We've got the collision of the top of the league, and they're starting random passive-aggressive Twitter beef with one another.
Some Twitter trash talk with emojis.
Like, that's just fun. Like,
well, I've actually enjoyed the XFL, and I wouldn't have been able to say why I enjoyed it so much more than the USFL last year, except it's got to be the venues.
Probably.
Which is exactly what I'm talking about here. Every town and every group of fans has their own personality. And when you look at the Defenders, you've got the beer snake or the beer cup snake, which has turned into a thing. And then when they don't like a call, they throw lemons. You've got guys showing up in lemon costumes at the DC Defenders games. I love that. That is how you sell tickets. It's like, I want to go to the Defenders game and throw a lemon. That's what I want.
My wife thought it was hilarious, and I tried to convince her to get one. So she picked the Sea Dragons as her team. But there was an entire section. I think someone put on Twitter which section it was. It was like section 112 at, I think they play at CenturyLink. They just only sell the bottom sections.
Oh, okay.
The entire section. So something like 150 people in one section of the stadium were all in full-body dragon costumes.
Yeah.
that was hilarious.
Well, see, to me, if you show up, if you're willing, see, this is the kind of promotion stuff I like.
I got to ask, was that organized or was like Seattle handing those out for that section?
See, to me, I like that kind of stuff because if you show up to a stadium dressed up as a sea dragon, you should get in for free. In Seattle, do you know what a pain in the butt it is to get around some of those towns?
That would
in a sea dragon costume?
I'm wondering
costume?
If that's how they did it. Maybe they said, show up in a costume, we'll give you a ticket in this section for free.
And that's what they should do. and I guess that's what
and
I'm
they won!
And I'm saying that's stuff you don't get when you're playing all your hub games in Birmingham.
true. And I do appreciate that the USFL is expanding. I'm hoping that their goal is they've put out publicly, and you don't like it yet.
I understand why they did it. Yeah. I do. They're trying not to crater in the middle of the season like the, what was it, the AAFL or whatever it was?
Yeah, the AAF, I think AAF, it was.
Whatever. The one that I actually was going to buy a Salt Lake City ticket.
Yes.
And they didn't even make it to that week.
Yes.
So I understand why they did it. And but I respect that. But I also, you also have to respect the idea that these leagues are going against each other, even if not head to head, then at least for the same dollars. Mm-hmm. For cheap people like me, if I'm going to go to a game, I'm probably going to one game and tell and see how I like it. I'm not going to each one. So, yeah.
I would say, so I found this interesting. And no, I before I say this, I am not trying to say this proves that St. Louis was filled with diehard Rams fans when you had the Rams. You had your chance at an NFL team, and as soon as they got... I'm not talking about as soon as Kroenke announced he was selling the team, like St. Louis fans... Well, the reason we didn't sell out games is we knew they were leaving. No, because the blackouts began in 2007. Literally, the moment the Rams started losing, having losing seasons, they were blacking out half their home games every year. Half of their home games every year ended up getting blacked out. So I don't want to hear any more complaining from St. Louis fans. I told you guys we were a football city.
Well, they are if you'll get another stadium. I just, that's why teams are moving now. They want the billion-dollar Jerry World.
All I'm saying is a real football city, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Chicago, we just had the worst...
You said Green Bay.
I did. Worst team in the NFL, right? The Bears, 3 wins. Literally, we're going to pick first until we traded it. Sold out every single game.
Yeah, and the Packers are going to sell out every single game.
That's a football... Now, I'm not saying St. Louis is a bad sports town. I'm just saying, stop trying to compare yourselves to... We're just like Boston, because we sold out our XFL home opener. Like, yes, I was very impressed with... But now that I've ragged on him and let him know that they're terrible people and should feel bad, now I can give him a compliment. I thought this was very interesting. They opened up the upper level of the dome, the Edward Jones Dome. Average attendance to this point, and I had it on Twitter here a second ago, the second best attendance in the league thus far has been DC. They average 15,000 people per home game. Through 4 weeks. They've played 3 home games, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Third best is Arlington, 13,000. Lowest right now is, I want to say, Vegas?
It's got to be Vegas. They suck, and there's so many things to do in Vegas.
Vegas was just barely over 10,000. So everyone was between 10 and 15,000.
It's actually better than I would have thought.
So this is unfair to put it as the average because it was one game, but it blows every other game out of the water. So the St. Louis Battlehawks sold 38,000 tickets
to that game
for their home opener against Arlington. That's over double the second highest selling game of the year. So that was okay. I'll admit it. I don't like St. Louis. I was rooting for Arlington because that's the team I was assigned essentially because Kyle Sloter was on them. But yeah, that was actually kind of fun because it kind of sounded like a small college or an NFL game a little bit. It wasn't quite that because it was only 38,000, but there was noise in that
now.
Stadium.
Wyoming Stadium doesn't even hold 38, so easy.
I said small college. small D1.
You're using the word small a little derisively.
Okay, well, significantly larger than the college I attended, but not Georgia is what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. and I've actually kind of gravitated to the Battlehawks being my next team because their starting running back is Brian Hill.
And that's hilarious because officially that's supposed to be DC's biggest rival. But well, they started that huge brawl 2 weeks ago, right. And we were eating that up.
Well, he had a great game this last, in front of those 38,000. He had almost 100
His
yards.
His hometown. And, he's a St. Louis guy.
So, it was kind of cool. I like Brian Hill, and all-time leading rusher at the University of Wyoming, and had been with the Falcons. I'll be honest. I wish he was still in the league, but you know
he could easily get back there.
If you can go dominate the XFL, then Maybe
that's how Taylor Heinicke ended up back in the NFL. Man.
Taylor Heinicke. Should we transition now? Is that our transition?
So, yeah, I guess we're going to hop into all the NFL news.
Because Taylor Heinicke, first off, I love the guy. He had threw for, what, 12,000 yards at Old Dominion?
So I'm hoping that, I know you liked him on your team, but considering Washington already announced Sam Howell, we're going to give him this year, he's the quarterback.
Well, Heinicke's gone now.
Yeah.
He just signed with the Falcons.
So knowing that, as a Heinicke fan, do you feel happy for him to get to go to his hometown? Grew up a Falcons fan.
I'm happy that he's getting paid, and then, yeah, that it's in his hometown. I am. I'm happy for him.
Because I was curious if it was going to be the battle between, I like Taylor Heinicke, good for him, versus, oh, but I wish he was still in Washington.
I'd like to keep. I would have liked to have kept him, but he... The cool story about Taylor Heinicke is he was nobody. You think back to when they signed him to play that game against Tom freaking Brady and the Bucks the year they won the Super. They almost beat them, Aaron.
Yes.
They almost beat the Buccaneers in that first round. It was like 31-24. Mm-hmm. No one else even was close to him that postseason. And it's Taylor. It's this guy we don't even know.
Apart from Green Bay, unfortunately.
But it's this guy we don't even know. He wasn't even in the league.
Unless you were an XFL fan.
To me, it's very cool that he forged an identity in the one opportunity. It's very Rocky-esque.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, here's the greatest of all time. Here's your shot.
Yep.
Came up short, but guess what? Everybody knows your name now. I like that.
And backing up Desmond Ridder does not necessarily mean that you're not going to get playing
time. I don't even know if he's
going
to be the backup.
That's what they announced.
I think they're bringing. I think that's what they're saying. But I can guarantee you, Taylor Heinicke's not going to Atlanta to quote unquote back up Desmond Ridder.
I think they'll start out with him. That's what I was implying. Is they'll start out with him backing up Desmond Ridder, and I was saying backing up Desmond Ridder does not mean that you're going to stay the backup
because they're paying him $10 million
now.
Ridder
is technically a first-round quarterback, and I don't know if
that
changes.
So was Josh Rosen.
I know, if that doesn't... My old theory of you have to give him 3 years because quarterback is so tough.
Not anymore.
Yeah, now we're a little impatient, aren't we?
Well, they've always been impatient, but it's pretty bad now.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's what's crazy about the whole draft thing is you got people trading their whole future to move up a few spots, i.e. the Carolina Panthers.
So we're going
to
talk about that now.
But I just... And then let's say that their first, whoever they pick doesn't work out. Let's say they suck. By like a year and a half into that experiment, they're already going to be like, okay, he sucks. Let's move on.
Yep.
That's why I'm not a big fan of selling all your assets to move on.
I would super duper love it. Now, I don't hate any of these quarterbacks that much.
I don't hate
any of
them.
But if they could at least suck for their rookie year, and then the Bears could get a top five pick next year because Carolina tanked it, that would be really lovely for me.
But to finish off the Taylor Heinicke thing, I'm glad for him. He forged his own thing. Mm-hmm. The guy was, even last year, everybody knew he was getting like a big bonus for every win that he got. And so when he would win, he would go buy custom Jordans in the colors of the team that he beat. People love that crap. So a lot of Washington fans love that guy. And you know what? 2 years... $20 million. Washington loved him. They knew the management wasn't ever going to pay him that much, but he totally deserves it. And I hope he goes and makes Desmond Ridder look like a clown. I'll miss him. I really will. I liked having him on Washington, and I don't know who we're going to have as our backup, but he was awesome for Washington. I like the guy.
So for what you've seen thus far, do you have any predictions? Do you see any next Taylor Heinicke's? In this XFL season.
Well, see, and that's the beauty of...
How about Brandon
of those
Silvers?
Stories. I don't know, man. There's...
Houston Roughnecks quarterback. He's been rolling. I think he's second in yards, first in touchdowns. His team's undefeated. And he's got that fun southern drawl of an accent that just makes you go, oh, what a likable little guy.
The best thing that some of these guys have going for them is, one, yeah, you've got a stage to perform on. But especially the ones who are playing for coaches who were in the NFL for a long time, like Wade Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me Wade couldn't just talk to somebody and go, hey, you should give this guy a shot. Just put him as your third QB and let him compete. And he would get in. I mean, that's what that league is for, mm-hmm. is for those types of connections. So absolutely I could see him getting a shot.
So there's your bit of an XFL breakdown for this week. Back into the NFL news, and I talked about it already, because we didn't have an episode last week. You were covering state basketball.
Yeah.
I just made a little 20-minute short video specifically about the trade. So I have told all the fine people out there my thoughts. I was very excited.
You should be.
As I texted you and Duke immediately and went, I've been asking for a haul off. I didn't want the first overall pick. I wanted whatever people were willing to give us for the first overall pick. And Carolina was... And then we get the shocking news. Everyone assumed. They said Carolina beat the buzzer against one other team and got the trade. Everyone said, oh, well, it was Indianapolis. Clearly it was Indianapolis. We all knew. It was the Raiders.
Yeah.
It was the Las Vegas Raiders. And here was what the difference was. Both teams offered 3 first-round picks. That was the offer from each team. And Ryan Poles told both of them. And it's now someone actually... put it out and engraved it and hung it some fan over like their door. They posted on Twitter the engraving of the quote now. It was, and I want DJ Moore with an exclamation point. Because apparently Ryan Poles told both teams, I don't want a 2025 first. I want
a player.
DJ Moore, Devontae Adams. The Raiders wouldn't budge. Panthers did. They gave up DJ Moore. The trade was done. So instead of 3 first-round picks and 1 second, they essentially turned it into 2 first-round picks, 2 seconds, and DJ Moore. So that first-round pick in 2025 was turned into a second-round pick and DJ Moore, which I'm not going to lie, does feel like a lot more than a first-round pick to get a second and DJ Moore.
Right now it does.
At the moment, yeah.
Now, 5 years from now, if it turns out, man, can you believe so-and-so would have turned out to be the pick that the Bears...
I mean
it's,
sure.
It's possible.
But yes.
But more than likely, it's not going to be anyone that we'll remember.
And you know, there's a comedian on YouTube named Tom Grossi.
Okay.
And I hate to acknowledge him because he's actually technically a Packers fan, but he's the only Packers fan on the planet that I acknowledge as a person because his videos are hilarious. So he gets a pass.
A person.
He's a person. He does reaction videos where he pretends to be this and that. He does a lot of Packers stuff. But the reason that I like him is that he's not the Packers fans I'm used to interacting with on Twitter. I call him the me of Packer fans because he tends to just whine mostly about the Packers. I said, there you go. He doesn't just blindly tell me that it doesn't matter what the Packers have done because we're the best team in the NFL every year. And Aaron Rodgers is actually better than Tom Brady and also every other quarterback combined. Like, okay, so you don't actually watch much football, do you? You just get Packers score updates on your phone. I can already tell is the type of fan you are. But anyhow, he broke down that whole thing and... Now I'm forgetting what the original point was.
I don't know where you were going with it.
Endorsing Tom
Brady. You were talking about the giant haul that the Bears got.
Yes. And even he was on board of, all right, crap. Are the Packers going to come in last place in the division now next year? Oh, my God.
Sure looks that way.
But the way that this rebuild has essentially been going... Oh, now I remember is his skit where he dressed up as a Bears fan and said... Getting through last year was so long, but it's finally worth it. That was the feeling as we all went, man. Apart from the fact that Fields was occasionally entertaining to watch, yeah. You're like, oh, look at that. Look at that 80-yard run he just made. Or look at this throw to Velus Jones. That was cool. Shame we still ended up losing because, you
know. They did.
Yeah, every week. But we got a couple of highlights out of it, and if you're going to tank, you might as well tank in an entertaining fashion.
That used to be the Rockies' mantra. Might as well lose 12-10.
If you're going to. But anyhow, now here we are. We got the haul, so that was step one, right? Now you have to do something with it. But the other big part, that how many times did I bring up our cap situation during the season?
As a
I
lot.
Was saying, you know what, we suck, but at the very least, here's what we might get out of it.
Yeah.
So we started with $100 million in cap space. We got DJ Moore. That was a $17 million cap hit. So it dropped down. So from officially $95 million, dropped a bit. All right. Still had the most cap space in the league. So what do the Bears go out and do? And you seem to have already given your endorsement of you think that the Bears won that trade, or at least got a decent return out of it.
For the number one pick?
Yeah.
Absolutely they won.
Now, obviously, if Bryce Young ends up becoming some superstar that we don't think he'll be.
See, that's the thing. Bryce Young would have to become like one of the top five quarterbacks in the league in the next 3 years for them to even argue that they won that trade.
And here's my thing.
And he's not going to.
Isn't it possible, though, that Bryce Young or Stroud or Richardson or Stetson Bennett, we don't know what they're going to pick. They're being very unclear about it.
Yeah.
Whatever they do, let's say he does end up being great. Well, okay. Does that mean that anyone, you know, that's our problem with these trades. Is it not possible that both of us can come away with this going, like the Bears weren't taking a quarterback. We now know that for sure, the way that they've treated this offseason. They were never interested in taking a quarterback. So let's say the Panthers get Bryce Young. Maybe he sucks his rookie year because now they don't have any receivers. Terrence Marshall is their number one at this moment. And look at this free agent class. Let's say he stinks his rookie year. But then, you know, in 5 years, he's a top 10, top five quarterback. And we all go, oh, look at that. But the Bears still got two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and
DJ Moore. To me, it still boils down to who the Bears get and how they perform. Because I keep going back to you go back to that draft where Mike Ditka gave up their whole draft for Ricky Williams.
Mm-hmm.
What did they get out of that draft? Nothing.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate.
And you could argue the same thing. When Washington moved up to get RG3, they gave all these picks to the Rams, and the Rams were like, "Ooh-hoo, look at us, we're rich," and dancing around like a bunch of bankers, acting like they had so much money come out of their pockets. Jeff Fisher even trotted out all of the draft picks for a coin flip 1 year. Yeah, can name one person from that draft, from those picks.
True.
Exactly, you can't. So it really boils down to the two staffs, and then the development, and then let's just be honest, the character of the people they draft. That's why I'm such a huge fan of Josh Allen. Everybody crapped on Josh Allen that didn't already like him.
Mm-hmm.
But those of us who had already watched him knew what kind of person he was, and that he would break himself to win for your team. And
one could argue that has been the lone fault to this point. But
what I'm saying is, some people are like, well, he's kind of become the exception to this. Well, don't draft this, this, and this. And it's like, because I think he's worked harder. He went to the right place. There's definitely some of that. But it's also the personality of the person. Again, since I don't like Zach Wilson, let's compare personalities. The first season Josh Allen was in Buffalo, he was the leader of that team. Mm-hmm. He's a 21-year-old, and the guy who, the lineman, his name always escapes me, that had been with Buffalo for 13 years. That was his last year, and he was all in on Josh Allen. And I saw that, and I went, he must do really well with his teammates in the locker room.
They probably saw him in the weight room and went, that's not a quarterback.
But conversely, conversely, when Zach Wilson makes a mistake and they ask, what does your team think about it? How did he respond?
We should really go get Aaron Rodgers.
I don't give a crap. It's not my problem. You're right. It's not your problem. Go sit on the bench, you loser. It's about the character of these people and how they're willing to develop and, let's be honest, some good luck. And so, yeah, so who's, as of right now, I think the Bears absolutely have won that trade. But time will tell.
Yes. I will say part of the reason I'm optimistic, though, Ryan Poles has now had one offseason, that was last year, and he kind of admitted, all right, we're rebuilding. So he didn't do anything in free agency, didn't add anything. But you know what did impress me? You want to go through some of those draft picks, and all of them were late round because we didn't have a first round pick. He took Jaquan Brisker in round 2.
He nailed them all.
And let me just say, I didn't like it. So how about, I can give my opinion left, right, and center. I'm not employed by the Chicago Bears. You know, I said, no, we need to get a receiver. What are you doing? Go get George Pickens. And George Pickens played well.
Mm-hmm.
Jaquan Brisker, all rookie defense, top safety among all the rookies in year one. Looking like he's going to be a bona fide starter, perhaps star in the league for the Bears in the future. They get Kyler Gordon with their other second round pick. And again, I went, oh, come on. There's still receivers left. Kyler Gordon started off weak, played pretty poorly in those first six games, I want to say. But, you know, rookie cornerback, that's not easy to do. Finished the season as Pro Football Focus's third ranked corner in the NFL over the last 6 weeks, which is one of those really specific ESPN type deals. But still, it's better to finish strong than...
It's like winning the J.D. Power Award.
But still, you know, okay, so he improved. Braxton Jones, in the fifth round, gave up the fewest sacks in the NFL per snap played, gave up one sack, and he played every single snap all season as a rookie at left tackle. Fifth round, he took... And then several other players. Dominic Robinson was an everyday starter at DN. Didn't end up being that great. I think he had like four sacks, but started. He found a starter in round 6. Sure. Basically, my point was he had one draft thus far, and I think he did well in it.
Well, you could argue that as of right now, they're getting an A-plus in the offseason. You could absolutely argue that. Instead of paying Roquan Smith $100 million,
and
you got Tremaine Edmonds and who's the other
I
one
keep
they
doing
got?
That, too. So Tremaine Edmonds. And T.J. Edwards.
Okay, so they got both of those guys.
So here's the deal. We can break this down, by the way.
So, and as a person who likes the Bills, and I have a son who that's his team, he's pissed. He's pissed that they lost Tremaine. And it's like, and they're like, why did they let him go? I'm like, well, they didn't let him go. He's a free agent. And they signed him to a bunch of money. And let's be honest, that statement that was at Jordan Poyer in that one interview, he's like, well, it'd be nice to go to a state that doesn't take half my money. Let's be honest, that's out of the Bills. Issues to fix.
That's probably a complaint every citizen of Buffalo, New York probably has. The same way that all of Illinois outside of Chicago really hates Chicago.
Yeah.
But that's got to be how New York is.
But what I'm saying, I could totally see why, you know, if it works. You're
not
gonna,
that Illinois is much better.
True, but you're gonna go where you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest. That's still one of the primary reasons you're playing football.
But can I now? Let's break it down for a second. His first signing, T.J. Edwards. I went, okay, T.J. Edwards. He's pretty good linebacker for the Eagles. Then you get into those Pro Football Focus things. For those of you that care, I know some people don't focus in on that. He had 160 tackles last year, 10 tackles for loss, 2
sacks.
That's
a lot, by the way. 160.
Yeah, playing outside linebacker. He wasn't in the middle. He was the weak side.
That's a lot of tackles, though.
10 for a loss, 2 sacks, and 2 interceptions.
And he went to the Super Bowl.
Yes. Where he almost accidentally injured Patrick Mahomes again. He was the one that tackled him when
that would have been cool.
Aggravated his ankle.
Notice I said hurt, not injured.
Yes. T.J. Edwards, $6.5 million a year. Somewhat of a bargain.
Yeah.
And if you care about Pro Football Focus, who has always had something of a hate boner for Roquan Smith for some reason. I don't know why. Even when he was in... So I don't totally... But if you do, Roquan Smith, according to Pro Football Focus, despite the fact everyone keeps saying, well, he's like Brian Urlacher in modern form for some reason, even though, you know, great run defender, good in coverage. Pro Football Focus, because of his league-leading in missed tackles... seems to really hate him. They had him ranked as the 26th overall linebacker in the NFL by Pro Football Focus grade last year. He'll be making $21 million next year by himself to be the 26th best linebacker apparently in football. This is shocking to me because I guess name value gets you paid. So we're paying T.J. Edwards $6.5 million a year, right? Number 2. He was the second best linebacker in all of football, behind Bobby Wagner.
Hmm.
One spot ahead of Fred Warner.
I guess all I'm saying is for pulls to get both those guys for less than or the same amount as he would have paid Roquan Smith is very good.
And then we'll go through some of these other ones that I all liked, because there's clearly a pattern.
Are these all Bears ones? Can we talk about the Bears?
Well, they made the biggest splash, and they're my team, so I feel like
you want me to go.
All right. So then they get Tremaine Edmonds, and you follow the Bills very closely as a Josh Allen fan.
Yeah.
They are your Bengals.
That is that is a guy that I would have preferred to keep, absolutely.
Tremaine Edmonds, ranked as the second best free agent linebacker available behind Edwards, somehow.
Let's put it this way. I would have liked him to have stayed, and I would have liked even more if Washington would have signed him. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Ranked number 5 linebacker in football. So they get the number 2 and number 5 line. Number 1 in pass coverage. They gave him a 90 grade in pass coverage. They said, and here's the fun part that Bears fans love, and that's why, because I got it on Twitter here. The highest coverage grade given to a linebacker since 2010, Brian Urlacher.
Oh, man.
Who got a 91 in 2010.
Of course you were building to that.
I'm just saying, you get Brian Urlacher back, except he's got dreadlocks this time. I mean, imagine Brian Urlacher if he had hair and confidence.
You're saying, you act like he doesn't have any confidence.
Anyhow, and here's the fun part. And this is just a neat little thing here, Dal, because I'm flying high right now. And we'll talk about Washington signing here in a second to make it fair.
I don't care.
I mean, they signed Wiley, who is a above average right tackle in the NFL, no matter what Chiefs fans tell you, because, you know, Patrick Mahomes getting sacked could never possibly be Patrick Mahomes' fault.
I'm already going to be happy because we're going to sell, because going back to the defenders, the section that was selling, that was doing the beer snake and throwing the lemons, they were also chanting F Dan Snyder for most of the game.
That's fantastic.
So that works.
But so we're clear here for your Washington signing here. Wiley gave up 6 sacks in 2022, which is slightly above average, but not particularly impressive. Right? Like, just instinctively, that's what you'd think if I told you 6 sacks allowed for a tackle.
Yeah.
All right. 5 of them were at 4.5 seconds or longer. Meaning, let's be honest, the football should have been thrown by now.
Yeah, it's the quarterback's fault at that point.
And you're going to forgive Mahomes for that because he's Mahomes, and you're like, well, maybe he'll pull a miracle. So let him hold the ball. But you're not going to blame the right tackle for giving up a sack that took 6 seconds.
Yeah.
So realistically, actual, okay, I got beat, sacks he allowed was like 1 last year. So I'd say that's a pretty solid signing, well, a right tackle for Washington.
Plus, they can move Sam Cosmi into right guard. When they picked him, I was all excited. I thought he would be the big mauler right tackle. And he keeps getting hurt. It's obviously not his natural spot. But he'll be more than adequate at right guard. So overall, it actually kind of is like a 2-for-1. It helps the line in a couple different ways. But, yeah, free agency-wise, the Bears are killing it. Washington right now, they're fine.
I also very much enjoyed Nate Davis, the number 2 guard in free agency, signed by the Bears. And here's the big thing on all this. Tremaine Edmonds, 24 years old. He's played 5 years in the league. He's 24. Isn't that weird? He'll be 25 in
May.
How
did he manage that?
He was drafted at age 20.
Huh.
TJ Edwards, 25. Nate Davis, 26. And then they signed a guy I had never heard of, and I don't know how Tennessee kept this guy a secret. So I know this might be Bears fan hype, but I went into it, and this reminds me a little of when we got Akeem Hicks, and no one really knew what he was, and every Bears fan assumed, okay, we got this Hicks guy from New Orleans. He was kind of a role player there. So I guess he's like going to rotate in at D-tackle, and then he ended up being a Pro Bowl for it. DeMarcus, and here's the thing, I forgot his name.
There's a lot of DeMarcuses, too, in the league, let's be honest.
Warren, I want to say, might have been his last name. Anyhow, was a rotational defensive tackle for the Titans last year. And I went, okay, so we didn't get Draymond Jones, we didn't get Daron Payne, we didn't get Hargrave.
That's right, you didn't get Daron Payne.
And I went, okay, so we went with the cheapo, you know, bargain bin option. Let's look this guy up. Okay, he had 7 sacks as a defensive tackle. That's what Draymond Jones got for Denver. Looked him up even more. He only started 6 games at the end of the season. He was a backup the entire first front load of the season. And I went, huh? So then I looked up his highlights. He is fast for, he's only 280 pounds, which is probably why he's fast for a defensive tackle. But heck, he is fast for a defensive tackle. He's got a killer swim move. He had two of those sacks against Patrick Mahomes, who is not easy to tackle.
Yeah, he's kind of like an eel.
So I'm wondering if this isn't one of those sneak. You get a couple of those in free agency for each team each year. A guy who's, all right, he was a backup for some other team but played well in spots. Let's bring him over here. And whoopsie daisies, he's one of our key starters.
Yeah, you never
know. We can hope. So I liked all those. He's only 27. Ryan Poles very clearly has this idea, and DJ Moore's 25. That's the other addition that we talked about earlier. It seems very obvious that Ryan Poles' approach is, listen, we were bad. I'm not rebuilding this team by making all the sexy overpay signings. I don't know that he's going to go for Orlando Brown, who is young, but is asking for nearly $30 million a year. It sounds like that's not really Poles' thing. Poles looks like he says, you know what, I want youth, and I want guys that are going to play well on cheaper deals. And we just talked about it. Tremaine Edmonds, who is the superstar linebacker free agency, and TJ Edwards, who apparently played better than him, but isn't as name value. Two top five linebackers, according to Pro Football Focus last year. Combined, they will make $23 million on the Bears this year. That's only $3 million more than we would have had to pay for Roquan by himself.
Yeah.
And this I just found, when we're in the base defense, Jack Sanborn will be that third linebacker. Jack Sanborn was high school teammates with TJ Edwards and college teammates at Wisconsin. So they've been teammates twice already. Both of them are from Lake Villa, Illinois, and grew up diehard Chicago Bears fans. And you always love these stories, by the way. I'm sure Washington's had a few. They did the interview on 670 The Score with TJ Edwards right after he got signed, and he just sounded so giddy. And the one of us energy he gave off was just so endearing to me. As a Bears fan, him talking about how he once sat in line at a public library for 2 hours so that he could meet and get an autograph with Brian Urlacher when he was a kid. That's cool to me. There's a picture of him as a kid in a Devin Hester jersey at Soldier Field, waiting to get into the game. Talked about how he, much like me, because apparently we're the same age, which is disappointing. But talking about how he was watching that Super Bowl, and they asked him, you know, you were like 11 at the time. How did you feel when Devin Hester ran the kickback for a touchdown? And he said, I'm going to be honest with you. In my 11-year-old brain, I thought it was some sort of like sign. He's like, I thought the game was over. Like, you can't return the opening kickoff and lose in the Super Bowl. Like, clearly we're going to win. We're going to dominate this game. We've already won the Super Bowl. And he goes, oh, did you cry then when we lost? He goes, yeah, I didn't go to school the next day. I'm like, I like this guy.
By the way, here's, since you brought it up, the one of us.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
Jordan! Yeah, you always got to love the hometown stories, though. So Sanborn and Edwards, high school and college teammates, they'll be playing again together on their hometown team of the Chicago Bears. I like it. I like the signings. And here's the other funny part. We're heading into day two of free agency. The Bears still have $50 million in cap space, which is still more than 30 teams had before the offseason began.
Well, all I know
if they care to spend it.
All I know is they're not getting Deron Payne.
They are not. And by the way, I still blame you for why we didn't get some of those other D tackles I wanted.
Why?
Because you decided to fork over this massive contract to reset the market at D tackle 2 days before free agency starts?
Doesn't hurt my feelings.
Wait a minute.
That's who we wanted.
Just wait a week and do it.
Why?
Let the rest of us sign our cheap defensive tackles.
No.
I wanted to pay $10 million and get Javon Hargrave. I didn't want to have to lose him because he wanted $20 million all of a sudden.
That is our way.
My way is not a sportsman.
And some of the other big news along across the league here, we got Jalen Ramsey being traded to the Miami Dolphins.
I can't wait for Josh Allen to make him his little girlfriend twice a year.
And while we're on the AFC East, Aaron Rodgers playing his diva games for the 18th straight offseason.
That is, it is insane. It's like the he is, he could literally ask for anything from the Jets right now, who he does not work for, by the way, yet anyway.
Do you find it funny?
And they would do it.
Do you find it funny that his demands for some of these receivers to bring in before he accepts a trade are literally for receivers that are worse than what the Jets already have?
Not only that, well, he wants them for just his friends.
Yeah, he's like...
Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, these are his friends.
Yeah, I'm like, Lazard and Cobb will not start on the New York Jets over...
he doesn't care.
Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. And do they still have Corey Davis?
I don't know.
But Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson are way better than Cobb and
Lazard
at this point.
Well, let's be honest. He broke up with what's-her-name, the Hollywood actress, so he's got to have at least some beer buddies to drink with when the Jets inevitably, you know, suck.
Although, to be fair, I think the AFC... Now, we said this about the AFC West last year, so...
That's true. We don't know.
But they could be real fun to watch this coming season.
They could.
If the Jets get right... The Dolphins have talent, if nothing else. The Bills are the Bills. They're the reigning division champs.
But they're going to have to rebuild.
They gutted their defense a little bit.
This is a big offseason for them and their defense.
And Stephon Diggs went out on ESPN radio and kind of threw a... I like Stephon Diggs.
I do too.
Threw a little bit of a tantrum about the Bills and how every year we do the same thing in the playoffs and it's irritating me and blah, blah, blah. And he didn't blame anyone. He just ranted about how frustrating it is. So hopefully no tension there. But, you know, it was a little worrisome for those of us that want the Bills to be good as we went, all right, you're competitive. I get it. But please calm down.
All will be well if they get Derrick Henry.
And then he threw shade. If you're a Bills fan, now it would be funny because we brought it up first.
Right.
But would you prefer Austin Ekeler if you're going to trade for a running
back?
Yes. Touchdown machine, Austin Ekeler.
And he can catch the ball.
He can catch the ball. And, you know, I know he's tiny. That's kind of his gimmick. Plus, that dude is hard to tackle.
Well, plus, I think.
He's strong.
I think. Cook is going to be much improved in his next year at Buffalo as well. So we'll see what happens.
They get Austin Ekeler. That is going to be a fun... Now, you know, like we said, they gutted their defense. They might not be the Bills of last year where they were just, all right, we're going to score 31 and we're going to get 5 takeaways and we're going to try to dominate our way to the Super Bowl. They might turn into kind of what the Chiefs were 2 years ago and maybe the Bills have to start trying to win games 49-42. But if they get Ekeler, they very well could.
Yeah.
Obviously, okay, and you know for a fact, I don't bash Josh Allen as some sort of Josh. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks. The big thing on him is he going to have his occasional game where he turns into? He's kind of the modern day Brett Favre.
Yeah, he's kind of a gunslinger.
Where you're like, all right, occasionally when Josh Allen is on, our offense could be unstoppable, and we just have to hope that none of his whoopsie daisies, I turned it over 3 times, games happen. As long as you keep all of those to the regular season, that's a dangerous team right there.
I still think they need more help on offense, so I'm excited to see what they do, but we're out of time. But fun time's coming.
Can we scramble in a couple more of these news things here, though, sure. Real quick? We got Lamar Jackson coming out and saying that he never actually did turn down the $200 contract from the Ravens and that
$200 million
contract from the Ravens. He basically said Ian Rapoport's full of BS, but then did say outright, he said, what I was offered was $133 million fully guaranteed, which is the thing that over 3 years comes out to about $43.5 million a year,
which is about what Josh Allen makes.
About the problem is because this is how this always seems to work. It's also only barely more than Daniel Jones now makes. And I'm wondering if that's the holdup, is Lamar Jackson says, no, Daniel Jones just reset what I'm supposed to make, so now I'm owed $50 million a year.
I could do a whole show on what the hell the Giants are doing. And let's just be honest. If you're Saquon Barkley, you take a lot more abuse for your job than Daniel Jones does. And you have
Most quarterbacks are more important to their offense.
And you have proven yourself.
I'd argue
more at your position than Jones has at his. And yet Jones is going to make $40 million per year for the next 4 years. And Saquon Barkley gets the franchise tag just like $2 over $10 million a year, which, let's be honest, for normal people, that's a ton of money.
Barkley is way more important to the Giants than Jones is.
Yes. and yet he has to go home and go, I'm going to make $30 million less this year and next year, because I don't know what I'm making next year, than Daniel Jones. You've got to think that if I was Saquon Barkley, I'd be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be pissed that that guy gets the big contract and he didn't.
On the plus side, though.
And I'll bet you it's the first step of him leaving New York.
With all this quarterback drama going on, my biggest takeaway is even if he's being a diva about it, even if he's making the Jets do backflips, it sounds like that trade is as good as any day now. Aaron Rodgers is out of this division.
Oh, yeah. He's gone.
And here's the thing. That's another part I can bring up, the Tom Grassi shtick. He did a live Q&A on one of his streams. He's taking questions. This was about the Bears-Panthers trade. And some Packer fan chimes in. And this is why I said the difference between him and your average Packer fan I encounter. The average Packer fan being that kid from the video that went viral. If you've seen that, he was like the 12-year-old kid at a Packers game and he's just licking the wall next to his seat. I would consider that the average Packer fan, as well as whoever sends in...
Maybe he rubbed the bratwurst up against the wall and he was just licking the juices off.
Your average Packer fan. And the dude sends in a comment and he says, listen, Tom, you think the Bears got a haul? Just you wait until you see the haul we're going to get from the Jets for Aaron Rodgers. And Grassi just starts cackling. He goes, listen, I'd love it. He goes, I'd do a backflip in the backyard at this point if we got a first-round pick out of this. But I'm telling you right now, at best, we're getting a second because that's just where we're at. I'm like, see, that's a reasonable person for... Some Packer fan out there who truly believes we're getting 4 first round picks.
You're not getting
DJ
anything.
Moore.
You're not getting anything. You've already gotten what you were going to get from Aaron Rodgers.
So we're going to see what Jordan Love has. I don't think it's much. I watched his Utah State stuff. I didn't think he was any good. I was at college.
He actually did better in the one start he had this last year than I thought he would. So I'm willing to let him have his shot, but if he comes in, I mean, let's be honest, when you've waited that long, if he doesn't come in, because there's always the whole, oh, let him sit, let him learn from the best, let him do this and this for a couple years, and then they're going to be great. He's out of time. His time is starting
right now.
Right now, if he doesn't...
And here's the thing.
If he isn't one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league this next season, he's gone.
Aaron Rodgers, does he strike you as the type of guy who gives a wet fart about teaching his predecessor, being a mentor for the next generation?
No, I don't think he gives a crap about that.
No. If anything, Aaron Rodgers seems like the type of guy that would sabotage the backup quarterback so that he can keep his position.
Speaking of which, I have to keep going back to this. Remember when Zach Wilson said, if they bring in a veteran... I'm going to make his life a living hell.
Do you remember when I said, I hope it's Aaron Rodgers? And so Zach Wilson, like, not on the football field, just generally makes his life a living. Like, he shows up at his house at 3 a.m. and he's, like, throwing eggs at it. Or he's slashing his tires.
Why do you think they're signing Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard? It's so that he has someone to hang out with.
Bodyguards.
So he can hang out with somebody. And so when Zach shows up, it's like... Can we shoot this guy with rock salt or something?
I also enjoyed a Packer fan who tweeted out. He said, this is the difference. Because we can talk about natural talent all we want. But look at this. Patrick Mahomes is about to go win his second Super Bowl on one freaking leg. He goes, and my quarterback is off in a cave somewhere with no power smoking crack.
He's not smoking crack. It was pot. Aaron strikes he's more of a pot guy than a crack guy.
No, but he talked about his unique crystallized method he uses to heal in the offseason, in which everyone immediately said, what do you mean by crystals, Aaron? The hell do you mean by crystals, Aaron?
He doesn't have to tell you.
He's smoking crack.
No.
He's a meth head.
No.
We all know it.
He wouldn't have any teeth if he was a meth head. Go rewatch Breaking Bad.
Oh, so lots of fun off-season free agency stuff.
Just getting started.
And I don't if more huge breaking stuff hits, maybe I'll continue to do what I did last week.
I'll be honest.
Put a little 10-minute video up.
I think the Aaron Rodgers thing's going to happen in the next couple of days.
And then he'll be gone. And honestly, it wasn't the quarterback that left, but your division had a bit of a something-something to give you some hope going into next year. They're bringing back Jalen Hurts, so their offense should still be fine. But man, did the Eagles absolutely get gutted on defense. We talked about the Bills losing three players. Philadelphia lost its entire defensive line minus Brandon Graham.
Both their coordinators, too.
Their defensive coordinator. They lost 3 out of 4 starting players in their secondary.
One of which, of course, Wyoming Cowboy Marcus Epps, who cashed in and went to the Raiders.
And not only did they lose 3 out of 4 already, the other one, Darius Slay, has requested a trade. So they might lose all 3 out of 4 of their starting linemen and 2 of their linebackers. Literally, there is a situation here in which the Philadelphia Eagles roll out 2 returning starters on defense.
Well, and yet they'll probably still be fine.
Maybe, but I mean, if they even regress to average, like if they're like league average defensively, they're not 14-3 again next year. They're going to be...
Well, there's a reason most teams don't go 14-3 every year.
10-7?
Well, yeah, people have already said that they feel like Dallas is the favorite now in that division.
And obviously, New York, maybe Washington doesn't compete for the East just because it's a tough division.
You just wait. Here comes Sam Howell.
Maybe, but here's the other big thing about that. That wild card spot's got to be looking awful tantalizing because do we really think... Now, obviously, we both agree that we think Brian Daboll is a great coach, but let's not kid ourselves. The New York Giants had a lot of ball luck last year. I mean,
how many
of their wins were okay?
Not only that, but now you're going to have a full off season of, okay, here's Daniel Jones. Let's make him look terrible. Which I don't think is going to be that hard to do.
Well, and
$40 million.
Are they really going to get as many whoopsie daisies? The other team's quarterback fumbled, or the other team's punt returner fumbled at midfield when we were up 4 with a minute and a half to go. Like, they had like 6 of their 10 wins were toss up. Okay, that was the luckiest I've ever seen a team get in my life. Wins, and it just cost them $40 million.
Yeah,
they might have been better off just not beating Minnesota, not going to the playoffs at all, and just realizing, oh, you know what, we went 5-12,
let's move on.
Daniel Jones is gone. All right, let's start over.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there. Like I said, and this is my opinion, I have not read this or heard it anywhere, I just feel like if I'm Saquon Barkley, I'm playing next season to just not get hurt and get the hell out of there. That's what I'm... And I fully expect him to be on a different team a year from now.
And how about the Raiders went out and signed Jacoby Myers? So that was
first
free agent off the receivers off their, the board.
Their wide receiver core looks... Their offense looks pretty stacked.
Now, they just traded Darren Waller right this second.
Oh, they did?
He is going to the New York Giants.
Wow.
So no Darren Waller, but he only played in 7 games last year. So, and here's the fun thing to me, though. They do look like they have pretty good skill positions, minus the tight end. Now, they might draft one if they are just going to go into next season with Garoppolo and see how it goes. Maybe they take Michael Mayer at 7.
Now, see, I was thinking when they got Garoppolo that I thought, okay, maybe they're just bringing him in to kind of mentor. Dude, they're paying him money. It's like a 3-year deal for $60-something million.
Sort of.
He's going to start.
Now, because I think you're in the same position as I, you keep reading these contracts and you remember that it was only 10 years ago that people criticized that Jay Cutler was overpaid at $27 million a year.
Which he was.
And he was top 10 in salary at $27 million a year. And so now you go, Jimmy Garoppolo is getting $23 million a year? They really... broke the bank on that. Where does that rank? Oh, he's the 24th highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
But what I'm saying is, he's there to start.
Yes.
At least for now.
Maybe a rookie falls to them at 7, but let's say Tennessee trades with the Cardinals and quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
All right, now Vegas is just... Maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe they say, okay, well, then we won't worry about a rookie this year. Now you can draft Michael Mayer, and he's your Darren Waller replacement. Yeah. And you say, all right, we got... And then poor Derek Carr, who everyone's going to then point to and go, look, Jimmy G made their offense good. Derek Carr... And it's be like, well, that's not fair, because they brought Jimmy G in and immediately revamped the whole offense. That's not fair.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with
they brought
all that.
Josh Jacobs back as well.
Yeah, they franchised him, correct?
Yes. The Denver Broncos were... Considering we all thought that Russell Wilson was going to murder their cap for a few years, they were weirdly busy in free agency in day one.
Yeah, it's all just a bunch of crap, isn't
it? Well, they got 2 new offensive linemen, 2 new defensive linemen, and as my dad has said since I was old enough to understand language, every year at the draft, he insists, I want 1 offensive lineman, 1 defensive lineman, bare minimum.
It's not bad.
His catchphrase has always been, fat guys win football games.
It's true.
And Denver... They bring in Sean Payton. They're hoping that, you know, we all saw Russell Wilson's 3 best games last year were the last 3 games of the season if they fired Hackett. And they're like, all right, maybe Sean Payton comes in. Maybe he brings Russell Wilson back. They're investing in their fat guys. They said, you know what? That Brian Feely out there in Illinois/Missouri sure is on to something. Let's fatten up this team. Let's protect Russell and let's kill the other team's quarterback. That is not a bad strategy. Maybe.
I think you could draft that way and justify it every year. I totally
every single year. Mostly because you need 5 and 4 of them, which is more than you need for any other position.
And now there's 17 games.
Yes. And having depth at either line is never a bad idea because that's not exactly a position known to be great on the knees.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered all the big news this week, Dal. Is there anything that immediately sticks out in your mind that we missed?
Nope, other than... It's all going to change. It's all, there's going to be new stuff between now and next week. And
here's a fun one. I like that the Bears are kind of flying under the radar in the North for good reason. We were just the worst team in football. But these Vikings and Lions fans that are suddenly all emboldened and talking trash about whose division it's going to be, how sold are you on the Detroit Lions heading into next year? Are they already better than the Minnesota Vikings?
Maybe.
Maybe. Is there a part of you that thinks, okay, on paper, I like Detroit. They should be able to win this division. But for some reason, having a blue lion on the side of their helmet scares me. Like, they'll find a way to screw up at least 2 or 3 games and cost them some standing.
That's definitely true. Yeah, we'll see.
So tell us in the comments, how far can the Detroit Lions go this year, and what's been your favorite offseason acquisition to this point?
Yes, please do that.
You can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you guys next time.